Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Welcome. My name is Brent Granger. If you don't know me, I am a leader in the church, and I preach about once or twice a year and enjoy doing that. And so today, so I'm going to start off with a joke. So Pastor Doug, he goes out and he purchases a horse, and he's so proud of this horse, and he decides, you know what, I'm not going to teach that horse woe. I'm going to teach him hallelujah, and that horse is going to slow up. And then I'm going to teach him praise the Lord instead of giddy up. And so all month he's teaching this horse, and he's racing around the corrals, and he's like, hallelujah, and that horse just jams on the brakes just perfectly. He's like, yes, and then he says, praise the Lord, and boom, that horse is just gone. Well, then he invites all his pastor friends over, and they're all in the corral going round and round, and Pastor Doug's up on his horse, and he's just like, yes, this is amazing. He says, hallelujah, and all the pastors, oh, wow, that's so good. Wow, that's amazing. And then he says, praise the Lord, and the horse is gone, and again, the pastors are all so exciting. So the day ends, and he says, I'm going to take this horse for a ride in the field. We're going to have so much fun. He's riding out there. Rattlesnake goes off. That horse just starts running, and he's like, whoa, stop, horse. He's just totally forgot. He's forgot the actual phrase that he said, and that horse is just tearing across. It's headed for a ravine. He doesn't know what's going on. He's like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. Jesus, take the wheel. Didn't know. All of a sudden, hallelujah. And that horse just jumps four skids right on the edge of a cliff. He's dazed. He's huffing. He's like, oh, my. Wow. He looks to the heavens and says, praise the Lord. I love you, Pastor Doug. Let's pray over this service. Lord Heavenly Father, we just give thanks so we can come into the house today, that we can hear your word, that we can stand on your word, that we can be bold in who you are. Father, I pray today that you open our hearts to who you truly are. I hope, pray that today that there's somebody in here who's maybe got a veil over their eyes of who you truly are. You clear that up today, Father God. I pray that as I speak, use my words, use your Holy Spirit power, Lord, to change people today. Father, that hearts change today, that eyes change to society, to what's going on. And Lord, I pray that we come out of here changed people. Father, use me today. Use my words through you, Holy Spirit, and absolutely change who people are today in Jesus' mighty name. All right, so I'm excited about today. I was pretty confident about today's message. I was going through it and going over it. Pastor Doug has been doing his Pursue What Matters Most series for the month. And I'm a very simple person, and I'm going to be straight honest. I copied everything. Not one of the ideas is an original idea. I copy, I change it a little bit, and make it better. So just so you know, I'm not going to be like, wow, Brent, you're pretty smart. No, I'm a very simple man. I'm very direct. But these are all other people's ideas and thoughts, and it will make me look a little bit smarter as I go over it, though. So the first week when Pastor Doug did the message on Pursue, it was all in love. And the second one was a healing heart and then a life that counts. And mine is a life for Jesus. So when you think about a life for Jesus, I want to just put something in your heads and hearts that the minute that you make a decision for Christ, you will receive opposition. You will receive opposition. It's natural. That's when you're going to do something great. The devil will definitely try to stop you. He's going to put something in your way. You will be tested. So think about it for a moment, just in everyday activities. You say, you know what? I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to finally do this. I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going on a diet. And then literally, there hasn't been an ice cream truck down your road for 20 years. And all of a sudden, you hear ding-ding of the ice cream trucks rolling down your street, right? Isn't that just the way it is? It's so amazing. And then you say, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to finally go on a budget. I'm going to do financial peace. We need a budget. And all of a sudden, the next thing you see is a mega sale, right? Everything's on sale. You're like, oh, I've got to get down there. It's just the way it is in life. When you make a decision, you'll always receive a good decision. You'll receive opposition. And when you receive an opposition or a decision for Christ, especially, you're really going to see some major opposition. That's why we need prayer so much. And so maybe you make a decision in the house and you're like, okay, I'm going to finally serve, and I'm going to serve in the children's church. I'm going to actually go right to the nurseries with the babies. I love babies. We're going to, and you get in there and stuff happens in the nursery, you know, stuff happens when you get into the nursery. And then you say, you know what, I'm going to lead a Bible study. And somebody comes up and says, oh, I don't think you know how to lead proper. You know, little things like that. Or you finally say, okay, I've been doing 2% of my tithe. I'm going to do 10% of my tithe. And you walk out and your car won't even start. There's always opposition to the good things in life. It's just a natural thing. So we need to be prepared for the battle. We need to be prepared for the battle. Remember this. On the negative side of things, it takes 30 to 90 days for negative things to set in. And isn't it so true? If you eat a burger a day, guilty, no joke, sorry, it catches up. I've gained 10 pounds again in that fast. It comes quickly, doesn't it? But when we eat a salad and we are nourishing our bodies properly, that takes a long time. You don't see that right away. You stay maybe skinnier. But when you eat a burger a day, you start to gain some stuff, right, going on. And so when you eat a salad, it's not that way. And it takes 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years for the good things to produce good fruit, right? When we think of a tree, you don't go and just plant a tree one day, and 30, 60, 90 days, you have fruit. It's not the way it works. You need to consistently put in time and effort, whatever you're doing, to truly produce that good fruit. So I know, and we need to give thanks every morning that Jesus died on the cross. And so this morning, I just want to go over some simple, profound, some principles that I have that I just believe are so true for each and every one of us. And I want to start off with number one, that we need to know Jesus. That is my first point. I think about how soft, I guess, sometimes our Christian lives have been, and we just kind of intake what's out there, and we intake the world, and we say, that's okay, it's no big deal. But Jesus went and died on the cross for you and for me. So early. He went and died on the cross. Do you understand? He went and died for you and me. Do we truly understand the power of what the cross is? Or do we just say, yeah, I know Jesus, you know. He went and died on the cross. They put him in the grave. He was dead for 3 days. He went to hell. He defeated the devil to come back and be so that you and I, sinner me, could be with him forever. Sinner me, sinner you, forever, you guys. And if it was just you on this planet, he would do it again. So what I love about the Christian life, and but when you have foundation of who Jesus Christ is on that cross, that representation of that cross, the death, the resurrection, you guys, coming back to life, going and ascending to heaven and leaving the Holy Spirit for us. He did that for you and I. And we take that, hey, Jesus, yeah, you're in my life sometimes. And I just believe that if we had the number one foundation, if we know Jesus, we truly love and know Jesus, then all those other impactful things that happen in our life won't even barely budge us. Because he says, build my house on the rock. And that's what I think our lives need to be built on a rock. And so many of us are on sand. So many of us are deceived. That cross is so powerful. And you know what's so awesome is each and every one of us has a moment. Everybody has a moment where they said, I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to lay down who I am, and I'm going to give it all to you, Christ. Now, maybe you haven't done that yet in your life. I don't know. But I know for me, in my moment, it was many years ago, 2005. I've told my story many times, but I just thought that this was a time where I said, okay, what that moment in life where I can say, where's my number one foundation, unshakable, was when Jesus and I accepted Christ, right? And I hope all of you have that same moment with Christ. Everybody can go back and say, do you remember that time when I gave my life to Christ? And if you don't have that moment, you can have that moment today. You can lay it all down and say, Jesus Christ, here I am. I am a sinner. I am somebody who's done this and this and this. He doesn't care. He wants you to believe in him and accept him into your life, and everything starts to change. It should change. That's the key. It should change your heart. And for me, I was down at a conference, and David Ring was speaking. He's cerebral palsy. He's a speaker. He's a fabulous speaker. Even though he has cerebral palsy, you had to take a minute to listen, and you, all of a sudden you got into him, and you're like, wow, he's just speaking so powerfully. You know, God just moved through him. He gave a salvation call, and I was like, the heart was just coming out of my chest, and I'm like, I'm gone. And I've never looked back. Now, did I change in a second? I was like, oh, I know, I'm perfect. That doesn't even happen. Don't get falsified on that. Don't say it's not going to be hard. I'll tell you what, though, the change in my heart was instant. What it was I was not a very nice person, and Amy can contest this. Remember, let's go back to opposition. So I give my life to Christ. We're sitting at a seat. Amy is not saved yet. We sit down. I sit down. There's thousands of people, and I can feel those eyeballs right in the side of my head. Bam, opposition right away. You know, I'm just going to sit here and be quiet. We get into the vehicle later, and she looks at me, and she says, you're not going to get all churchy on me, are you? No, honey. We weren't married. We were unsaved. I was now saved. I was like, wow. But opposition instantly came up. What happens to that seed, right? What happens to our decision? I could have went and just knelt. You know, no offense to men sometimes, but they just kneel. Oh, my goodness, my wife said this, so I have to, you know, like, come on. I had to make a decision. I made a great, grand decision of, and I want you to make a decision for Christ, that is a foundational thing that never gets shaken. You have that moment with Jesus Christ where you give your life to Christ. Nothing can change that. You go back to that moment. Hard things are going on. Go back to that moment. Go back to that moment. I got through it, Alan. We're good. Point number two, seek God first in all we do. So number one, now we know Jesus. The number one found it. We know Jesus now. Now we need to seek God first in all we do. And again, I've stolen everything, just so you remember. So I'm going to believe today that in your heart and in your head, there's something in the world that bothers you. There's something that weighs on you. There's a need you see, and you think, somebody should do something about that. Maybe a group of people that are hurting. Maybe somebody has been abused or neglected. And you know, as a follower of Christ, that we should get involved. And maybe it's something, even a divine passion or burden in your heart. Something that upsets you. And maybe you think, God, you should do something about that. And we need to realize that he is doing something about it. He's putting that on you. It's for you to do something. This statement is awesome. I heard it just this last week. The burden you bear will often reveal the calling you will embrace. I said it again. The burden you bear will often reveal the calling you embrace. We need to seek God first in prayer. Always seek God first in prayer. Now, if you have a burden or a dream in your heart, a passion, you need to seek God first in prayer. And I'm going to tell you, if you think you've got that burden, if you just think to yourself, I can just fix that myself, then go and do it. God has given you that ability to do so. Go and fix it. But can I say this? If that burden or dream is that small, you're not dreaming and seeing things big enough to what God can do for you. We're not here to just do things on our own power or what God has given us as talents. He wants to expand that. He wants to push you further in life. And there's a burden on you. There's something. Each and every one of you have something in your life. You're like, God, we should do something about that. That's for you. That's for each and every one of you. That's God's calling on your life. Do something about it. That's what we want to encourage you today. We want to get you into prayer every day. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Think about a story in the Bible, Deuteronomy. And so we have the people of with Moses, and they are literally, they're just in this wasteland. They're in the wilderness, right? They have come through. I want you to think about this story quickly. If you haven't read Deuteronomy, read it and then read Joshua, because that's going to continue on, right? We've got to continue on through. So they come through. They have just been freed slaves from where they were. Can you imagine that? They're slaves. That's that mundane, doing the same old, okay, okay. They were freed from slaves. They were fed on their travels. There was miracle after miracle. The Lord parted the sea for them to walk through. And Moses takes these people, and they get to a point. Remember, go back to this. It takes time, like a tree, to grow your roots and your fruit. They grumble. They start grumbling. Can you imagine? The Lord has done all these things. And the Lord has actually promised them something and saying, hey, there's a promised land. Oh, no. Wait a second, Lord. I'm going to go on my ability only. And I don't think we can defeat those people in that promised land. So I want you to think about that. In Deuteronomy, the Lord then says, how am I supposed to bless these people that are just grumbling? They don't want to seek me. They're just grumbling in what they, on their everyday, mundane type things. So you're going to stay in the wilderness for a whole generation. And they're going to die, and a new generation is going to take over that promise. Can you imagine? Let's not be a people that are grumbling every day. We've seen it, that there is no blessing in that. We want to seek God, praise God, give the things. In Psalms 76, 40, 41, oh, how often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved his heart in that dry wasteland. Again and again, they tested God's patience and provoked the Holy One. Let's not be a generation that provokes the Holy One, but a generation that seeks him every day. And now you have Joshua coming along. Joshua, then, you understand Moses was healthy at 120. It says that he was very healthy. So he had to be kind of like ended, right? Okay, your promise is over. This is as far as you could take it. So he's been killed now. Now it's like, he was healthy at 120, very strong, and now he's done. This promise needs to go on to Joshua so the next generation can move forward into the promised land. And as we see, Joshua seeks God, seeks counsel, gets counsel from Moses, from God. Now your turn to take the people into the promised land. And he does so. And all the people rally around that, and they follow Joshua like that. Moses is gone. We follow Joshua. Whatever Joshua says goes, because we know Joshua is seeking God's heart. He's seeking God. I'm going to listen to Joshua. What's he want us to do? We're going to the promised land. What happens? He gets all the soldiers and priests together. Remember, he says the two spies in and all the... Read the story. I want you to get knowledgeable on the Word of God and what he's speaking to you, because it is alive, you guys. It'll change your life. So all of a sudden, the soldiers and the priests are there. The priests step. Look at it again. Look at that. There's little things in the Bible. He didn't say, okay, part the waters, Lord. Here's a river. The priests have to step into the water. They're moving in faith. And boom, the water holds back and the armies can enter in. Seek God first in prayer. Every day, you guys. All right, number three. Define the vision clearly. All right? Remember how I said I'm simple, I like points and all that sort of stuff. We're going to give you some practical things today that you guys can do. So now we know Jesus. We're going to seek God every day. And now we're going to have, let's actually write out the burden. What is he actually putting on our heart or our passion or our dream? Let's actually write it out. Because if you cannot define it, you cannot do it. Right? If you can't define it, you cannot do it. God wants you to accomplish whatever he puts on your heart. He doesn't say it's going to be easy. He just said he wants you to accomplish it. He's put that on you for a reason. And I'm going to give you some simple principles that are going to help you do this. Okay? So first of all, number one, you need to clearly define your purpose. Do this today, you guys. Do this over this next week. Start building that up. Define your purpose. And then all of a sudden you're like, but I'm so busy. That's okay. There's a next step. It's called time allocation. We don't manage time, you allocate. You want to get stuff done, talk to David Clausen. You put it in the calendar, man. Like, it's like, you get her done. What do we got to do? This is what I got to do, I got to do, I got to do. And that's the next step, is everything goes into your calendar. This is mind-blowing, I know, isn't it? Everything that happens, everything God puts on your heart, put into the calendar. Follow your purpose. You're going to get moving faster. You're not going to be lost anymore. God says, do this. Then, the amazing thing is, number four, do everything in your calendar. Mind blow. I know, it's crazy, right? Things he puts on my heart. I stole it. Totally stole it right off from somebody else. And the next thing was, so now you're actually moving forward. You're doing the things you need to do towards God's purpose. You're not stagnant. You're not saying, oh God, I thought you were going to do something. You're saying, I'm going to work with you, God. Where are you taking me, God? And I'm going to move like the priests into the river in faith. And then number five, you better have fun along the way. Okay? It's absolutely amazing the joy that you will get in your heart when you are living a purpose-filled life. Do you know how hard it is to not live a purpose-filled life? We are seeing millions and billions of people doing that right now. They are not living a purpose-filled life. They are hard-hearted now. Well, I don't want to see that for the believers, the saints, the people who have called God, and they said, I am yours. You've talked to him, and you just sit there, and you're stagnant, and you're hurting. I want you to get out there. I want you to pursue God and seek him. So what is the vision and the burden? Are you going to help people? What people? Are they going to be children? Are they going to be single moms? Are they going to be people that have been abused, single dads, the homeless? People of a poor nation, the jailed, people not doing well in finances, business people. Maybe it's helping people pray more. Define what God has put onto your heart. And whatever burden or passion that has been placed on your heart, it is not for everybody. It is for you. And we're going to go forth and we're going to accomplish those goals and dreams. The dream needs to be specific for if you want to accomplish it. All right? Seek God in prayer. Don't just have a goal, have a purpose. Have a goal with a purpose. Okay? I think some people just have a goal and they just kind of like, eh. But if you're in purpose and you put a goal, you're going to have a goal with purpose. It's going to be so much more powerful in moving forward in what God has for you. Then there's your team. You got to think the next thing. Okay, now what about my team? Who do I need on my team? What team are you on? What team are you on, first of all? Are you a good teammate? What is a good teammate? I'm going to give you five more quick things, quick principles, mind-blowing things. But you know what? What does it mean to be a good teammate? Number one, show up. It's amazing. Everybody's like, I'm on a team. Oh, I forgot. I was supposed to be somewhere. Forgot to put in my calendar. Forgot to time allocate, right? And then when you show up, first thing is, yes, I've shown up. You need to actually contribute. And many of us have different abilities and different things that are going on in our lives, and you need to contribute to the team. So you've shown up. Now you contribute. And now communicate. Number three, communicate. What a society we live in. It's so easy to communicate, isn't it? Man, you can text. I don't believe in texting, but I need to know how to do it. And Facebook, and there's cell phones, and we have a rotary phone. You can go back and use that sucker. You need to communicate. You need to know, tell people what's going on. You need to be involved. So now you're showing up, you're contributing, you're communicating, you're actually over-communicating. It's okay. I just overcall. Now, while you're inside of that, you can all get better at what we're doing. Do you know why you get better? It's because you hang around a team. You ever hang around Karen Ransom? You're going to get better hanging around Karen. You're going to get better at all the just the being. You're a being amazing is what it is, Karen. Just so you know. So she has such a high level of class, doesn't she? Just amazing. You want to be? I'll tell you, you can learn so much. But get around the team. You're getting better, and that just naturally happens. But you have to pursue getting better. We go back to our earlier points. And then the last thing, never quit. Come on. How many people just quit so easy nowadays? Oh man, it's hard. I'm just going to scoot out the door. You don't quit. Come on. Right? You're letting down your teammates. Come on, let's get to be a part of a team. You've got a vision. You've got a purpose you're doing. God's put something on your heart. Remember, when you had that moment, go back to that moment, you guys. Why am I doing this? Jesus loves you. He died on the cross. Don't quit. Don't quit. Keep moving forward. I'm going to say it over and over. It's not easy, but it is so worth it when you're in God's purpose. So worth it. I'll show up here. We show up here all the time. Why? Because the house of God is important to God. I want to be here. I want to make this successful. We want to have fun. We want to live life together. And I'll tell you what, there is junk and stuff you're going to go through, but that's what the family and the house is for. But if you're not a part of a team, if you're not a part of the house, who are you going to talk to? You need people. God uses people over and over and over again. That's you. That's me. How exciting would it be if you walked out of here and you thought, man, oh man, I want to serve that church. I want to serve my Jesus every day. What journeys would you go on if we actually listened to the voice of God? I've had some weird journeys. I've had some fun ones. Pursuing him was a fun one. Over here, Victor. He got up here and spoke, Victor and Grace, and it was like we met at the Y, like he said. And then he says, I don't actually know how he found me because I knocked on his door. God told me to pursue him. I was like, you know, you get inside. I don't remember what day it was. Was it a Sunday? I can't remember. All I know, I was walking up the front steps. We had seen them. We knew they lived in our neighborhood a block away somewhere. Fourplexes. And God just said, you got to write journal things down. I'm not very good at this part. But he's like, he just said, you'll find him or go find him. So happy we did. I really like you guys, just so you know. But I walked around the corner, and he says, because he doesn't know how I found him. I didn't know, stalking him or something. And I walked around, and their daughter was on the balcony. And I'm like, kind of, again, what were the odds? Daughter's out on the balcony. Because God said, go get him. Knock, knock, knock. A year ago, hey, we got this event going on. Do you guys go to it? How are you doing? We met you at the Y. I don't remember exactly how we said, but something like that, right? Come on out. Here they are. Pursue. What is God telling? Are you actually doing? I could have walked into the door and said, oh, that was just silly. I didn't want to, right? Go on adventures with Christ. When he tells you to do certain things, don't you get those moments where you're in the drive-thru and it's like, pay for the guy behind you. I'm going to pay for the guy behind you. Cost me $22. Right? Isn't that the grumbler, right? You're just like, are you kidding me? And then you drive and you see a homeless cop, like, right? Don't we need to have a heart for that? But some of you, see, that's my heart. That's where I see. Some of you, it's totally different. Some of you are like, this needs to be done. And I'd be like, I don't care because it's not my calling, right? It's yours. You need to take it. You need to take action on that. Okay, number four. So now we have our team. We're going to start moving in that. There's only 5 points, guys, so we move quick. Time is flying. Okay, do not bury your dream. Do not bury your dream. Please don't bury your dream. I'm going to read this. We have heard this, I think, 3 times. Matthew 25:14-30, the parable of the 3 servants. Put it to your dreams now. Understand what he's saying here. Put this context to your dream. I'm going to read this scripture again this week because it's been on my heart. It's been the whole time I've been trying to think of this. Pastor Doug said about it. Success builders. They went over this scripture. I'm like, I guess I'm going to say it again. This is what needs to be spoken. So again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by a man, a story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted the money while they were gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it proportions to their abilities. He then left on his trip. So do not compare yourself to somebody else. Do not compare yourself to somebody else. You have different abilities, and that's what God is going to push forward. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. What are you doing with your burden and passion that God is giving you? What are you doing? Are you burying it? Don't bury your dreams. After a long time, the master returned from his trip and called them to give their accounts on how they had used the money. The servant whom had entrusted 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver. I invested it and I earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling small amounts. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." He didn't say all of a sudden it's going to get easier either. He gave more responsibilities. It's an exponential growth. It's something more. It doesn't then just stop. More happens, but you can handle more. Your cup is bigger. So there was a servant who had received the 2 bags of silver, came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling a small amount, but now I will give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came forward. Can you imagine him? He's just like, "Oh my goodness. Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops that did not plant and gathering crops that didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, look," he's excited, "look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvest crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I did not cultivate, why did you not deposit the money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have abundance. But for those of you who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away." Don't bury your dreams. Don't you dare go out and get into a box. So many of us, the box up here. They go and we get so small-minded and small-thinking. We put ourselves in this little box, or maybe we put God in a box. "So my situation, God, you can't help me. My situation, me," just like the grumbling people in Deuteronomy. "My abilities only say this." And God says, "Seek me and expand on those abilities. I will be the one who expands all of this." We need to have integrity. Do what you're saying you're going to do. I'm going to take it one step further. I heard this concept. You think, okay, integrity, I'm going to do what I say I do. And some people do, some people don't. But let's start with having integrity with yourself. Do you take little moments of time and you say to yourself, "I'm going on that diet, but now I'm going to go and you break your own integrity by having the French fries. Broken integrity with yourself. Or you do a little thing. Again, go back to the budget. "Oh, but it's just a hammer for $5. It's a beautiful hammer, though. I'm justifying my purchase. I'm saving money." You broke your budget. You broke your integrity because you said you were going to do something. You do it. And I think so many people out there today, they break their own integrity before they even break somebody else's. If Pastor Doug asked you to be here on Friday at 7 o'clock for something really important, you'd probably say, "I'll be here, Pastor." But will you do it in the moments when nobody's watching? When it's only you and Jesus? When it's only you and God? Are you going to say, I'm going to do those things that I told myself I'm going to do? Because if you don't do this, If you don't seek God, after today, I'm going to seek God. And then you wake up in the morning, this bed is really nice. And right? Broken promise. Broken promise. Stop breaking promises to yourself. Start putting things into action that God wants you to do. God will give you the strength. Seek Him out. Seek Him out. So many of us, we see our lives like a box. Let's see if this goes as practiced. And you say to yourself, man, that's a tiny box. He can't fit in that box, can he? So many people. I don't know, God. That sounds like a pretty big dream you've given me. I'm going to go hide in my box. Think I can get in this box? I see so many people and Christians. They curl into their box. I got into this box once. And they close the door. And they say, Lord, oh my goodness, I'm in a box. And they say, Jesus, I'm just going to sit in my box because it's pretty comfy in here. And Jesus says, no. Jesus says, I have so much more for you. Maybe you start shaking the box. Jesus, I know who you are, Jesus. I'm seeking you. And you know the devil, he loves you to just sit in your box. You need to start shaking your box. You need to start seeking Jesus to get out of your box. Let's see what Jesus has for us. Bust out of your box.
Uh-oh.
God is not in a box. You are not in a box. Bust out of your box. Change your life through Jesus Christ. He has the power and the strength to change everything. A new beginning, a new opening. So many of us get into our box and we think so small. Bigger dreams, you guys. We are men and women of Christ. I'm so excited to say to you guys, get out of your box. Let's do this. Jesus is so big, so great, and we can have such an amazing journey with Christ. So let's just go over quick. We're just going to end. Number one, know Jesus. That is your first step. I want you to have your moment in time with Jesus Christ where you can go back and say to yourself, that's my foundational moment. That's my time with you, Christ. No matter what happens, that I understand what you did on the cross. I understand you died for me. I understand you rose again for me. I understand that you went to hell and defeated the devil so I could have all of this. I could move in like Joshua into the promised land. I don't want a Deuteronomy life. You need that first moment with Christ, you guys. Don't take it lightly. I pray that today is the day where you invite the Holy Spirit truly into your heart, and nothing is the same. Number two, we need to seek God in prayer first in all we do. Seek God in prayer and first in all we do. Number three, have clarity in what you are doing. Don't bury your dream. Don't be the servant with one. Be the servant with two or three or whatever he's giving you. He will multiply it, but we have to do our part. Do not bury your dream. We live once, you guys. Go for it. And number five, get out of the box of life that you call a life. I want you to live an amazing journey with Christ. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, Heavenly Father, you just give us so much. Thank you, Jesus, Thank you for this day. Thank you for this word that you've put on my heart. Thank you, Lord, that you touch people, that you change lives. And in Romans 3, 22, 25, it says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in past times. Maybe you realize today that you don't know Jesus. Maybe you know of him, but you don't really know the Creator. Maybe this is the first moment where you've said, man, I've come to church for a long time. Maybe I've never been to church. But man, I need to know this Jesus powerfully inside of me. And you know, it's simple. It's not by our works, but it is Jesus that saves. And we can say a simple prayer inviting him into our hearts and into our life. And I encourage you today, if you haven't had that moment, that change heart, put down your pride, put down everything and say, Jesus, here I am. Sinner, I am a person that's not perfect and never will be. And you know what? The Lord says, I accept you. I died on the cross for you. I rose again for you. Thank you. I brought the Holy Spirit for you. And we give you thanks, Jesus. So if that's you, and you have never truly, in your heart of hearts, said this prayer, it's a short prayer to accept Christ into your life. And if it was anything like what he did for me, my life has never been saved. You can have a foundation, a new foundation from this day forward. Say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I realize that I am a sinner. I believe that you are the Savior. I ask you into my heart, into my life. Jesus, I pray that you are my Lord and Savior.